How many of you plan to do something for Thanksgiving this week? You plan on gathering with family or friends, or you have some sort of activity that you're planning to do Thanksgiving? Anybody have some place to go, or some people you're going to see, or a turkey you're going to consume, mashed potatoes to eat, pumpkin pie, something. Most people have something going on. I think we're like, what, 3-4 days out from it. I find it hard to believe that it is Thanksgiving already. It seems like just like 10 days ago, it was 75 degrees out, and we were cutting the grass in the first part of November. But here we are. It is Thanksgiving, and I am having a hard time like understanding that. Bethany asked me, should we decorate for Christmas next weekend after Thanksgiving? Because that's the time I say that we're allowed to. And I was like, well, I mean, I guess so, but we just had shorts on. So, but, you know, that's reality. So here we are with that. And Thanksgiving, for me, is I have wonderful memories of Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. Good childhood memories of that. We get together with all of our cousins on my dad's side of the family. We always did Thanksgiving with all those cousins because also my grandparents on that side would go to Florida for the winter. So we would celebrate Christmas and Thanksgiving on the same day. So Thanksgiving meant what? Presents. That's right. So I loved that. It was fantastic. And besides just all the enjoyment that we had together, but not everybody has that memory. Or that experience, but here's probably something that most people do understand this thing about. The Thanksgiving feast might have this, a kid's table. How many of you are familiar with the kid's table, all right? How many of you used to loathe the kid's table? I hated being at the kid's table. The kid's table is where the kids go, obviously, but it's where the people go who maybe can't carry on an adult conversation. All right, sometimes I still get sent to the kids' table, but it's where people go who may not have as good a table manners as the other table. It's also a place where the mac and cheese flow uninterrupted. So it's wonderful at the kids' table. The desserts are consumed first at the kids' table. There's a lot of redeeming qualities about the kids' table, but actually we need to be cognizant that the kids' table isn't always the most desirable place to be for those who are sitting at it because they just want to be where the adults are. The grown-up table is where it's at when you're a kid. That's where the important people sit. That's where the food was just passed around the table. You didn't have to wait on mom to come fill your plate. You can just enjoy right there. It's where the apparently hilarious conversations take place because they're all laughing about things that kids don't understand, right? It's a high honor to sit up at the grown-up table, especially as you got older, because as an 11-year-old boy, the last thing you want to do is sit with the babies at the little kids' table. Don't want to sit there anymore. However, for me, being the youngest, I was the baby. I never actually had that experience because my cousins had to suffer through me. The point is, as a kid, you want to move up to the grown-up table. You got to go up to it and be welcomed in at the higher place, the grown-up place, at the big table, right? You don't want to be at that little kid's table anymore. Our passage today comes from Luke chapter 14. We're going to look into Jesus. He's at a feast. He's at a place where there's food going and there's drinking going on and there's a party happening. It's a feast. And then he tells a couple of parables about a feast. We're going to look at one of those. There's two, but we're going to look at one. But before I do that, I want to talk about what special day today is in terms of the church calendar. It's kind of an unknown holiday that I try to put in front of us every year when this rolls around. The church calendar is a human-designed thing that we have to celebrate various aspects of Christian life, living and Christian life, so we don't get stuck in mundane things. And it helps to remember the times when God sacrificed for us. and it brings order to our chaotic lives if we follow the discipline of the calendar. Now, I don't like to be a slave to the calendar. We're not like liturgically driven here, but I like aspects of the church calendar. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's actually probably my favorite on the church calendar. It's like New Year's Eve for the church calendar because it's the last Sunday of the church calendar. Next week is Advent. That's the beginning. So next week's Advent, day one, that would be like New Year's Day. So this is like kind of like New Year's Eve. It started, Christ the King started in 1925. It's a fairly recent thing. Pope Pius the 11th actually set the day aside. He did it to combat the increasingly secular culture that was invading the globe in 1925, okay? People were losing faith as an active part of their life, so he's like, let's remember who our real king is. He also did it to combat the rise of fascism in their day. Think about what was coming in 1925, 1930s. To the 40s, World War II was going to start before too long. He was sending a clear message to leaders who were rising up in the 20s to remember who their real king is. Remember, we all have a real king. He is not a political entity of our day. He was in his day, but not in our day. The best thing about Christ the King Sunday is that we all have a chance to remember who our Lord is. Jesus is Lord. That's like the number one thing to remember. Jesus is Lord. And so, Jesus being Lord of our lives, we want to remember what Jesus did so that we can emulate that in our lives and become more and more like Jesus. And I think remembering that Jesus is Lord is a, like prior to Thanksgiving, is a pretty good time to do it. Let's remember Jesus is Lord of our lives. Let's give him thanks for it. And let's treat people that we're going to see at Thanksgiving dinners like Jesus would treat them, not like we normally do. Maybe they might treat us that way too. So as we gather around the table this week, let's look into and remember Jesus' words that he did as he gathered around the table with friends and family in his day. This is Luke chapter 14, 7 through 11. Now, he told a parable to those who were invited. And when he noticed how they chose places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give up your place to this person, and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit at that lowest place instead, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He's basically saying, go sit at the kids' table first, and then the guests will maybe bring you up and join the grown-up tables. Jesus is at this dinner party. He's talking about a dinner party, and he goes on to tell them these two parables, but that's just the first one. It's kingdom etiquette. It's like, here's how you behave in the kingdom when you're at a party. It's very simple. Here's how you ought to behave as part of the kingdom of God when you're with other people in their place for a feast, especially for in his day at a wedding where there were seats of honor that would show how important you were to the family and in the community. And I suppose there's some of that today. We don't do all of those rituals that they had in Jesus' day, but I know here in this century in America, the brides and grooms, they fuss over who's going to sit where at the reception. How many of you probably fussed about those things at one point or another in your life? We know that people can have some tension over where people are sitting at the wedding feast, and so we take into consideration these personalities, this person, these two are divorced, don't put them together. And we place them where they will get along the best. And you can be certain that probably the further and further away you are from the bridal party is maybe your level of connection to the bride and groom, right? I'm just the third cousin twice removed. I don't need to sit next to them. You know, they just put me in the back. I don't, even really want to be here. So the closest representation to Jesus' story might be something like this. What if a guest came, just random guest, came to the wedding party and decided to sit at the head table with the wedding party? Like, obviously, that's a big no-no. And somebody, probably the MC or the bride or the groom or the father of the bride most likely, would come to that person and say, come on, you can't sit here. You must sit over here. And that guest starts with shame, embarrassment. Somebody would escort them away. And in Jesus' day, there was this honor-shame culture that happened. We have a little bit of that still today. It has a place of importance for every person, and every person had to recognize where you were in the place of honor or shame, depending on where you were, and everybody just knew this is where that person resides. Jesus was telling them that when you arrive, don't try to guess that you deserve the up there seat. Just simply take the lowest one. Just take it. And then bring honor to yourself if he decides to move you up. And it's not you that's bringing the honor. It's the MC. It's the host. Somebody else is bringing you up and honoring you. Jesus said there's greater shame and self-exaltation than there is if you would simply take the lowest position first and let others lift you up and promote you. Others can do much better at promoting you than you can do at promoting yourself. And nobody really likes a self-promoter anyway. We always roll our eyes at those people. Like, ah, here they go. We don't need the resume, okay? We get it. You're important. All right. Let somebody else do that for you. And so Jesus says to take the lower place. And when we're at the lower place, we shouldn't be agitated. We're not there to just be noticed, like, look at me, I'm at the kids' table. Hello, move me up. You know, it's not that way. We don't want somebody to just take us and put us in our rightful spot, but rather just be content where we are. I'm here now. I'm at the kids' table now, and this is what I'm doing. We should be happy where we are, happy with the people who are with us. If we're at the kids' table, relish the kids' table. If you're in the kitchen, relish the kitchen. If you're watching the TV after the meal and you got the seat on the floor, enjoy the floor. Good luck, you know? Like, just be where you are. Be fully present where we're stationed. Don't have too high of opinion of yourself so we don't think that we belong here. We're here. This is where we are. We are here together. And Jesus wraps up the famous words. He says this, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. When we try to exalt ourselves, we will be humbled always. Always. If we're at the kids' table, we're trying to sneak to the adult table, mom or dad or grandpa's going to say something, and in humility, you'll be put back at your place. Go back and sit in your spot. You're there. So why not, in humility, go and be humble in the first place and allow God to simply lift you up? Jesus was the perfect one to teach on this subject because he fulfilled it perfectly. Think about who he was. He deserved to have lordship, kingship over the whole world. We're going to talk about Jesus' kingship over the whole world and his return as king starting next week. But that's what he deserves. That was his rightful place. It still is. But yet, he lowered himself. Not only did he lower himself to just simply become a human being, but he became a human being who humbled himself to death. Even death on the cross is what Scripture says, the lowest place. And from that lowest place, he has now been granted the greatest place. As you head into Thanksgiving weekend, and we see families and friends, and maybe you have multiple gatherings to go to, what ways can you present yourself in humble surrender? In what ways can you go in and seek the lowest spot? Maybe somebody will lift you up to a higher one, but maybe not. Just be where you are. This is it for me. I'm just here. I'm just here to be here. What if you volunteered to sit at the kids' table so their parents could take a break? Hey, I got it. I'll load the mac and cheese up. They're going to have as much dessert as they want, Mama. I'll give it to him. It's fine. It's not that big a deal because you get to take him home. Maybe the seat of shame is at the sink afterwards. Maybe you just need to go do the dishes after the meal's concluded. Not too many people seek out that job, but it's a big job. What if you just went and did the dishes on your own? What if you were the one who decided to think of others first and self second? Part of that is all around the idea of what can I do to make others in this room feel welcome? How can I help my family, my friends that are gathered at this place, even if it's not my house, how can I make them or help them feel welcome to be there, that they want to be there, that this is the place where they should just relish being as well? What is it that I can do to help others feel welcome? Now, church, that's something we need to talk about together. What can I do to make other people feel welcome? It's actually a filter that I run our church through from time to time. I think these thoughts, who, if I make this decision, who will be made to feel unwelcome if this is what we do? And so every now and then we go through, so-and-so is going to feel unwelcome if we do this, let's not do this, or let's do it this way so that they don't feel unwelcome. And it's come to my attention that there's two groups of folks who have drifted away from our congregation because of that very fact. They don't feel as welcome as they used to, or maybe as welcome as they could feel. And when this realization hit, I was pretty devastated by it because I want everybody to feel welcome. We want all people to feel welcome. We want people to feel at home. Like when I come to worship at 31 West Ballroom with Engage New York Church, this just feels like home for me. I don't know why. It just does. This is my family when I'm there. I feel really welcome. And so whatever was happening was by no means intentional. It's rather unfortunate happenstance of just structure that we have. And so people are feeling unwelcome because of it. And the first group that seems to not feel welcome are younger children. And this is enormously sad because we built our entire ministry and church around the young family. We built Little Arrows Play Cafe so we could have young kids feel welcome and their parents just feel like, this is home, my kids love it here, and therefore I love it here too, and we want to be a part of whatever's happening here. That was why we started and how we started. If we're unable to connect with young families, then we're not doing the thing that we set out to do. But the reason they don't feel as welcome as they used to or as they should is because some of those children that we had when we first came, they were very small, and now they're growing up, and they are feeling welcome. They feel like this is my home, and so they feel like they can do whatever they want sometimes. They are unintentionally making the smaller kids feel unwelcome. So there's some structural things that we can do to fix that sort of thing. And I'll talk about that in a moment because we want to help all families feel more welcome and grow our capacity to receive more kids in the ministry. And with a couple simple structure changes, we can do both. The second group is a subset of folks who have triggers around the area of smoking. These are folks who are either trying to quit themselves or have childhood trauma around the smell of smoke and that sort of thing. It just triggers things for them. And because we have a good number of folk who do smoke, those folks, when they enter the building for worship, they feel unwelcome when they arrive. And there is no intentionality behind that. I'm not casting blame. There's nothing done here intentionally for that. There's no one in this room that wants anyone to feel unwelcome. We all want everyone to feel welcome. In fact, the best compliment that I get from folks are people who say, I've felt unwelcome in other churches. They haven't used that word, but that's my word. I don't feel at home there, but here I've never felt like this in a church before. And we want that for you. We love that for everybody. We want you to be you and you to be here for you. And I know that you want it for others as well. Everybody wants that for everybody else. That's what we want. You want everybody to experience what you have experienced. You want everyone to feel the same kind of welcome that you have felt when you were first here. So just like the kids' ministry, no one wants anybody to feel unwelcome. We want everybody to be included. But there's some simple structural things that we can do to change so that more people can feel more like this is home for them. So here's a few things. We'll address that one right now. I'm just going to, let's cut to the chase here. We're going to have to request that no smoking be done in the area at the on the sidewalk as you exit the building. As you go right outside, no smoking in that area where those tables are and those barriers are up. No smoking in there so people can come in and come out. Our preference is to maybe move the smoking section to over on the other side of the street. And then people who are parking in the parking lot, you can gather there or just come through the bushes when you enter into the building across the street. One other thing that we've changed recently is to add the addition of Rodney and Tim, a few other folks, wearing the vest so that you can come straight across the street without, you know, too much safety concern. Trying to help people feel more welcome, especially if you have young kids in tow. We want you to be able to pass through. So we thank you guys who are doing that. Another thing we would like to do just to help those who do smoke, is smoking is not something we condone, but we do welcome you for those of you who do it. It's just a thing that you do, and maybe it's the most healthy habit that you have compared to other habits that you've had in the past. But we want to make it so that you have resources so that you can maybe quit smoking if you want to. I've got a few things on the screen here. We're going to have flyers. LMH has the best program going for smoking cessation. So check that out if you want to quit. That's there for you. They don't do flyers anymore. We went to get flyers, and they just don't have flyers anymore, so you got to call the number, I guess. It's free for the gum and the patches. They have all of it. It's pretty amazing. But if that doesn't work, I also researched paid programs. We'd like you to give those a shot. If it's an invitation, this is God leading you to quit, then quit using one of these resources. Or if it doesn't work, we'll pay for a program for you. We want you to know that that's there for you. We'll pay for a program. You'll see me, and we'll work on that. Now, for the kids, we're going to divide the age group of kids so that 3rd through 5th grade will no longer be in the play cafe. These are the bigger kids that I was talking about that are unintentionally making other kids feel unwelcome. It's not their fault. It's just they're big kids, and they're having fun. But for the little guys, preschoolers, they're like, well, that's a little scary. They're a fifth grader, you know. So we're going to split out the 3rd through 5th graders so they're no longer in the play cafe. We're going to invest in the right materials, the right programs, so that they can have a place of their own. And starting next Sunday, we're going to bring up the 3rd through 5th graders, and they're going to meet in the VIP room just to the back of this room. You know, like if you go to the right there, there's a bathroom. To the left, there's a little room with a bathroom also. That will be their space. And what we would, this is the part we're not sure how it's going to work yet. We're going to do check-ins downstairs, and we'll give the kids food down there. Then they can come up and join their teacher. Or during the music time, they're welcome to sit with their parents. In fact, we encourage that because eventually those kids are going to be part of our community in here. We would love for them to get the concept of singing and worshiping with us during the worship time. During the sermon, they can go back and have their lesson. Teacher will be in there the entire time if they want to be there for do the music back there. So until our end goal is to get those kids over in our Sage space. We want them over there so they can have a room that's like, this is mine. I have ownership of this, and you can even decorate it for them, you know. But we don't have enough adults to do that safely yet. We have to have 2 adults over there to make that happen. And we just don't have the staff to do that. So until then, we'll be over here upstairs. Additional things will be happening for the K-2 kiddos and the preschoolers so that those are the kids we're wanting to feel welcome. So we're going to do some things for those guys. But the big thing is those big kids will be out of the cafe and up here. And we'd honestly would rather them not even enter the cafe because once you go in there, you just, everybody's like, I just want to play. I remember, Christina, you went down the slide one time, didn't you? A long time ago. He said, I just want to play. Yeah. So we want them out. We don't want them to stay in there. Here they come. Here they come. They're checking it out. They're saying, yeah, let's welcome them, you guys. All right. Yeah. That's the feeling we want for everybody. We want them to feel welcome, and we want their younger counterparts to feel welcome as well. And I know that this is an inconvenience for some folks. It's an inconvenience. The third through fifth graders are going to be like, what? I can't play in Play Cafe anymore? No, you can't. That's part of our humility. We're going to teach them. This is part of our sacrifice so that others can feel welcome. For folks who will have the inconvenience of not being able to smoke right outside the building, you know, go across the street or to your car or something, that's the inconvenience that we're going to ask of you so that more people can feel welcome in our space and in our community. But here's the thing. I urge all of us, to ask that question. What's the thing I can do to make another person feel welcome, especially in church or in my home or in my school? I urge you all to consider that. We're brothers and sisters together. We put ourselves humbly at the lower place so that others might be lifted up together. There is room for everyone at the grown-up table. There's room for all of us at the table. But when we get to that table, we have to remember that sometimes I have to consider myself less than others. And if every person does that, if every person around the table decides that I am humble enough to welcome whoever to come to this table, then I think everybody will eventually all feel welcome here. Some of these changes you might see already. Some of them will start next week. And for all of them, we're going to do our best to get better and better each week as we keep moving forward. I love you all, and I want the very best for all of you, and I want the best for our community together. And so for those who this change might make you feel unwelcome, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that it does, but I also hope that you take the challenge and to invest in other people and remember others more than yourself. So thank you for your patience as we wrestle through this stuff together, as we look into what does it look like as maturing believers on a journey together, in our faith together, as we grow in numbers together, how can we make everyone feel as welcome as possible? And as you go forward in your Thanksgiving routines and rituals that you might have with your family, maybe it's a consideration for you in that space as well. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your holy scriptures that give us continual reminders about how to live a Christian life. And we look to the New Testament for those things, but Jesus lays it out so clearly about how we can be involved and be in life together with one another. On this Christ the King Sunday, where we recognize the lordship of your life, lordship of you in our lives, we ask that you help us to take that lower seat, to go in humbleness, to think of others as we go forward. What is it that I can do to help make people feel more welcome? What is it I'm doing that maybe might make other people feel unwelcome? So God, give us that courage to do the right things. Give us the patience as others learn that as well. And give us the humbleness to honor you in these ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.